Welcome to the Funding Moments Podcast.
Episode 22. Today we're going to chime in on a personal passion for ours, and it leads number two to finding moments in our lives. It is finding kindness. And basically, where do you find kindness and grace for each other?
Yeah, I shared an article that caught my eye where the title is Kids These Days Really Are More Egocentric. And I read the article and really thought about it. And they talked a lot about like how economic changes impact that. And you can kind of look at trends. But I also thought the whole world seems a little less kind these days. How do we help our children learn to be kind people or even understand kindness if the experiences we have are more limited?
Yes.
Are they more limited or are there more of them? Because I think when we're sitting here, if I'm talking to somebody that's a generation or two prior to me, and I'm admittedly very solid in the Gen X category, they could fire off 1,000 text messages in a minute. I'm convinced. So is it that they're more limited interactions or is it just different?
Well, I think that we do spend more time to ourselves than we used to. I mean, our kids are definitely more on devices. I mean, if you think about it, we were out riding bikes with other kids in the neighborhood. We were going to other people's houses. You know, our parents would have to call us to come in because, you know, we'd still be out playing. And now the kids are really spending a lot of time inside and not that you can't have communication over the devices. There are definitely games that lend themselves to that, although it's not exactly just social conversation.
Right. No, honestly, that's something that we've struggled with for both of our kids. Our teenager was younger and now our almost tween is not the spontaneous, oh, hey, let's go ride bikes or let's go do XYZ in so-and-so's backyard that we all grew up doing. It's extremely structured. You have to have an appointment. You have to have transportation coordinated. And sometimes there's even like set specific things that they're going to do when the kids are together. And that's just not something that we had direct experience with. And so it's almost like we're contriving the situation. It's great, but it's not the same thing. And it is frequently centered around video games. Frequently.
It's very interesting that I never had thought of that before, but this idea that it's so scheduled and mm-hmm. the stress to get someplace and to even for a social thing. Whereas we used to just walk out of our house and knock on the neighbor's door to see if they were home.
Right. Exactly.
Oh, we're trying to do that. We're trying to do that with our own neighbors, and it's even hard yes. just to get the attention.
But for both of our kids' friends from school, it's sometimes even not even physically possible because they live so far away, and B, with both parents working and said kids in whatever sort of daycare, day camp, after school care, whatever it might be, that's really rare to be able to go knock on so-and-so's door and see if they're home. Mostly this is something that I run into and beat my head against a wall with in the summertime when everybody's home. So-and-so is actually at home and not out of town traveling. Even then, we have to make an appointment and go over on Tuesday instead of this afternoon or, you know, whatever it might be.
Yeah. And I just realized if our doorbell rings, we all act like we're shocked. I'm not kidding.
Yes.
Who could be at our door?
Right.
That's crazy that someone's ringing our bell.
Yes.
Amazon won't even ring the bell when they drop off the package. They just leave it there.
So when we're starting from there, being kind is harder, I think, because we're just, and I think we probably have the pandemic to thank for this, not used to it.
Yeah. I think there's clearly long-lasting effects socially coming out of the pandemic. Definitely. And I think about like just the stress, I'm still processing what you said because I never really thought about it. Like the stress to get children to places. Just today, my daughter's volunteering at a craft fair and then she has a get together with a friend and then going from the get together place to have dinner with a group of friends and then coming home. And of course I'm the driver.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's very stress. Yeah. That's a lot more stress. It's not as easy as, or convenient. And you know, it's kind of funny too. You guys may have a different experience, but neighbors don't really hang out with each other that much unless it's like an organized event. We do have occasionally, we will organize an event in our, on our little street, but it's organized and on a schedule.
Yep.
I think it's more the polarization that we're experiencing right now, though. You used to be able to get together and talk about things, and you might agree, disagree, but we're so polarized in and of ourselves, and it's in the politics. It's in the social media. I mean, are you Twitter, are you X, are you turning it off? It's everywhere, and it's bleeding all the way down to our house. So it's a personal choice to just say, you know what, we're going to hang and we're going to have a good time and we're going to keep it relaxed. And what I think Trisha and I have found is people like to be around that. And if you really can make that a personal choice and surround yourselves with people that crave that also and make it authentic, because I think finding kindness is also being authentic. Those go hand in hand. You can change the narrative, but it takes a lot of effort and a lot of work. And sometimes, you know, you might try to say, hey, come on over, and you don't get everybody, but you might get that one individual that really needed that at that moment.
That is true. I think that there is so much polarization, like you said, and people don't know how to disagree nicely and kindly.
Yes.
I mean, we've been forever disagreeing, right? You know, that's just kind of the nature of human beings, but it's not very kind or nice anymore.
No, I think that's very true. Totally okay to enjoy one another's company if you don't agree on pretty much anything. That's okay. You can think about differently on the school board candidates or how such and such is run or what color flowers you're going to plant in your front yard, or, you know, it doesn't even matter. It's, but yeah, just the, oh, unless this person and I agree on absolutely everything there is to agree upon, we can't hang out. And that's not realistic even.
But I also feel like if you ask parents point blank, like, is it important to you that your child's aware of other people's needs? Is it important to you that your child is helpful or that they include others or they consider other people might have different needs and beliefs? I think most parents would say yes, but I don't know that we really live right now in the moment where that is always an easy thing to do.
Yeah, I agree.
I kind of take issue that our kids are more egocentric, though. I met two amazing young high school girls at a town meeting that I had to go to for work. They did this amazing presentation to where they were asking to use the community center for a clothing drive, basically a giant yard sale to where they had the warehouse space they collected and they put it out and they wanted to help people in their county with need. And it was so well presented and so pro and so thinking of somebody else. And I think sometimes these kids now are getting a bad knock. Gen Z, I love them. Like they clock out at like 5 o'clock because they got a boundary and they want to go have a life and some common sense to it. But they do. They work really, really hard and they crush it and they sit down and they focus. So I think sometimes what we may mistake as being egocentric is just a generational divide. And it's up to us to try to understand that a little bit. If you think about it right now, and I listened to a presentation, Jason Dorsey, for my work, and it was amazing. Gen Z is driving all the trends right now. Like they will be the largest generation in the workforce. They're the ones coming up. And they're driving every trend that we have. And a lot of it's actually really, really good if we stop and think about it. Work-life balance, having a boundary. There's a craving for friends. And I think we might be finally hitting the pendulum coming out of the pandemic to where, what do we need more? Moments, experiences, travel, feel something. So there might be a minute to where if we can find that bit of grace and kindness that we might find something that we've just actually been missing for a long time.
I think that's a good point. As being Generation X, I think that is one of the things that I struggle with. I know that it's healthy to do it, but work-life balance and setting boundaries is very hard. And again, this kind of goes to how you're raised. And I think that's why it's an important discussion to have. We were raised to have a different type of work ethic. You work all the time. You know, you have to earn your time off. You have to earn a break is kind of the mindset I think that we grew up with. Mm-hmm. And I think it is really important that there is a different balance. And I know I struggle with it, but I think it's very hard, like when you grow up that way, to change that too and change that. I can be aware of it but I still struggle with the right choices that help me have a good work-life balance or help me set boundaries. It's very hard for me to say no to coworkers, especially because I think, well, I have to help them.
Yeah, I am right there with you. I'm technically, depending on who you talk to, I'm maybe millennial, maybe Gen X. It depends on, you know, what years they're considering what, but I absolutely relate to that. And then the emails from all of the kids organizations in the school and like, oh my gosh, we need more volunteers for this. And I feel bad if I don't sign up. Like, there's nothing preventing me from fulfilling this, you know, this task. Why am I not doing that? And I'm like, because I need a break. And that's tough. And yet sometimes the volunteers who do turn up are the furthest thing from kind and are actually more grumpy. And I don't want to say frustrated that they, quote unquote, have to give up their time to do X, Y, Z, whatever it might be. That's not a great place to come from. But I think that's something that lots of organizations are seeing right now, where people are struggling to find the help that they need, paid or unpaid.
Mm-hmm.
Even jobs are going empty.
I think too, it's all about everybody's personal bandwidth, mm-hmm. you know, and what you have on your plate. And we all have this self-care will that's all of these responsibilities, family, job, ourselves, all these things that are important. And if one of them gets out of whack and is sucking our bandwidth, it is really hard to maintain those other ones. So then you go ahead and do what you're supposed to do, you know, and then you're grumpy because you have no bandwidth left. Like, you have nothing. Like, you can't give because you didn't give back to yourself, right?
One thing that I'm just going to kind of flip your minds for a minute is, do we always have to be a resource for somebody else? Do we always have to be there? I think that there is an element that Trish and I are kind of coming to after the fire is like, if you're in it with us, if you want to, like, we want to hang out, we want to be a part of your circle, we really care, and it goes to the authenticity. If you constantly have an individual that is sucking your time, is not maybe helping themselves, and you've done everything you can, I've kind of come, maybe it's older age, I've become okay with just like letting that be. That's your, a good friend of ours, I'll quote her, had said something the other day, that's your stuff. I'm happy to let you hold your stuff. I don't need to hold your stuff. And there's something really freeing and healthy about that. And I think that that can go into the kindness. If you constantly got the negative energy, and we all know those people, they have to have the drama. They have to have the latest. What do they say now? They have to go sip tea. they have to go get the latest gossip. It's all around you. Don't feed it. Just remove yourself from that. Like, there's no point, because I have to tell you, we've gotten to know some neighbors around that we didn't know before, and we're sad that we didn't, but we're really glad that we got that chance to do that now. And they're freaking awesome. We sat with a neighbor the other day, his name is Larry, and he loves music, and he went through more trauma than just the fire, but to get to know him, and he's got two beautiful huskies that play with ours, and sitting there and talking music with him, it's pretty amazing. Just a really nice guy. And if you can take that moment for connection, it doesn't take a lot. And those little acts of kindness have a way of paying yourself back and getting you to your best self 1,000 times over.
I think that it's hard to be kind or feel kind when you're stretched too thin and you're not in a good place. I think that is true. And I think the connection, like people making a point to really have a connection, not just I texted someone or emailed someone, but really having a true connection is a very different experience.
I think it's finding those moments. Back in my old theater days, one of the training that they had us do was trying to figure out something you had in common with somebody in the first 5 minutes. And then you always have that link, and then you can kind of build off on the relationship from there. But if you can't find that connection point initially, you might have to dig a little bit deeper, but you're never going to have a solid, authentic relationship if you can't figure out something that you'd be like, oh, that's cool. I can hang with that.
Yeah. I think, and part of it is too, just there are stages where as kids develop that they are more egocentric. And there's a reason for that. You know, when they're 2 to 7 years old, like they really need us to help them survive, you know?
Yeah.
They don't see well from another person's point of view, you know, when they're toddlers. And I think that something that is that development, not that your child is egocentric, but I also think that you see a change when they get to teenagers, because they're also going through another stage in development where they have to learn to be their own person, which means I have to my thing that I want to do. And I think that that's easy to sometimes misread kids and think, well, they're being egocentric, but really they're going through this growth where sometimes they have to be a little more independent. And, you know, when they're younger, clearly like they need us, they just can't do it. They don't know how to take care of themselves. Right. But I also think like looking at the time we're living in and how do we help our kids process that? Because it is a very egocentric culture. We're more isolated, like you said earlier. And I think there's just so many social media apps that are part of the way that people make money on those apps is egocentrism. You know, look how perfect my life is and look how beautiful everything is that I have and look what I have. And I think you just have that materialism that is influencing a lot of younger kids that are, you know, very much oriented to social media and those apps.
Let me ask you this, because there's a lot there that you just said, but is a normal kid's development, regardless of generation in today's time, that stage of it's me trying to figure out who I am and then trying to figure out how it relates to everybody else. Isn't that always been there? Now we just have outside influences. Yeah. So it's not like today they're egocentric because they're coming up today. Like that's called a toddler, and I want my macaroni and cheese.
I want it now. Yeah.
In the blue bowl, not the red one.
And is the shorter fuse that due to the child, or is that due to the parents being overscheduled and too many commitments and too many expectations and too much of us trying to shield them? So is it them or is it us?
I mean, part of it's just child development, right? Like when you're a toddler, then when you get to be an adolescent, you have that part too. I mean, you think about all this kind of like more being more self-conscious, more concerned with what other people think. They're trying to figure out like, I have to be my own person kind of thing. And that's a hard journey, but it does make you a little more egocentric to that stage. But I think that, you know, what is it that's happened to all the adults? So how do we get our kids through this period of time where things are a little not so centered on kindness? How do we get them through it so that they are kind people and they don't get trapped or sucked in or stuck in that mindset, I guess?
We've become super involved in scouting on several levels. And one of the volunteer roles that I do for our older son's troop is sit boards of review. And so as the scout, this is a scouts BSA troop. So these are 11 to 17 year olds. And the difference between an 11 year old and a 17 year old is substantial, but it's really fun to sit there, and we have to ask them questions about all the work that they've done to achieve the next rank that they want to advance to. And to see the 11 and 12 year olds sit their first boards, and they're nervous as all get out, and they don't know who we are. And we had one who was twisting his hair and pinching his face and rubbing his eyes the entire time. We're talking maybe 10, 15 minutes. And then we sat with a 16-year-old, and it was like, oh, wow, this is an amazing difference. And he wasn't really that much further along in his advancement due to a bunch of circumstances. So he's got a lot of work to do to catch up. But the difference in the development of that young man versus the 11-year-old that we saw just before him was amazing. It gives me a lot of hope. It's going to be okay. There's kids out there who have kind of started to figure it out. And I think some of the service hour requirements and just the amount of completely extracurricular work that is required of the scouts says a lot about their character. Okay. Yeah.
Kids are amazing. And I think if you think about it right now, they have more access to information than at any other point in history. we can't control it, nor are we really trying too hard. But what our oldest is able to come and like, he's able to tear apart a computer, put it together, do things I didn't even think a kid that age could do. And it's because that they can go to YouTube. They can see another example. They got more role models and they can seek out the role models that fit their interests. And you just hope that we raise them well enough that they seek out the right role models. But it's kind of a cool time to live right now, actually. So I would kind of continue to kind of retwist it a little bit. We're in a stressful time. Maybe the breath to find kindness needs to be coming from who are supposed to be the adults in the room and recognize our own strengths and weaknesses. And in some ways, we can ground ourselves in our kids.
Well, I mean, I think you made a really good point. Your child's been able to learn all of these things because he has access to it and sees it. It's kind of on us as adults to model the kindness so that our kids know what it looks like. And I think that organizations, you know, my own daughter has been in Girl Scouts since she was in kindergarten. That's been such a great organization for her for so many reasons and so many different levels, but also the fact that there's such an emphasis on doing something for the community and for people around you. And a lot of the other organizations that she's in, they are requirements, but being required to do an act of kindness is not really a bad thing. So like with NHS and NAHS and with marching band, they all do things that involve helping people around them, the community around them. And I think the more kids are exposed to things like that, they see the value and they feel the value. I know one of the kids yesterday when I was volunteering came up at the end of her shift and asked, is there anything else I can do? And I was like, you know what? You have been running nonstop. Why don't you just take a 5-10 minute break? And she said, oh, I really like helping other people. This is really enjoyable for me to be here and to get to do this. And I think you're right, Chad. Not every kid is egocentric. Some of mm-hmm. them are really connecting and they're feeling like, oh, it feels good to do something for someone else. You do get something back from that. But I think you have to find ways to include kids in and for kids to have those moments to realize that.
There is a book, it's called The Culture Code, The Secrets of Highly Successful Groups by Daniel Coyle. And it just talks about different activities and different ways people work together and how you can get that cohesion. And it's more business centered, but there's an interesting chapter in it to where they did exercises with multiple different categories of business to where teams would come in and they had to build a tower out of the equivalent of marshmallows and spaghetti straws. Every group really struggled and couldn't hit the mark and get this done, except he brought in a group of very young school children, and they did. And the only difference between the other groups and the school kids, they didn't have a hierarchy. They didn't care. There were no titles. There was no ego. They just did it. They just they behaved more like a beehive than a top down. I'm gonna be the director of this or market this, or we'll be the doers. The kids just like, oh, just grab that marshmallow. And it's just kind of a cool thing because I think that's inherent. That's naturally there. So it's society that changes that path. That I think is what is influencing our kids right now. And that's where social media comes in. And I kind of feel there's a big pushback on social media right now to where that trend might be starting to change a little bit.
We talk a lot about finding moments and how important family is, but that's a really good place to start with, just with little things like choosing a gift for someone, but thinking about what that person would be meaningful to that person. And things that I think that have kind of fallen to the wayside are things like thank you note and just mm-hmm. those little tiny things that are acts of kindness that don't necessarily have to take a lot of time either. But even just starting with family, and it doesn't have to be a handwritten note, but a grandparent would love a phone call for you to tell them thank you.
I was going to say that's great because they can't write cursive or read in cursive.
<You're right. laughs> Yeah. Yeah. Mm.
That's gone.
Trying to work that in, trying to make the teenager at least attempt to read the handwritten recipe cards that I have from my mother. He just started making up words. It was interesting.
We establish our own code of ethics, our own social rules, and try to hopefully imprint 50% of them onto our children. Ours might not always be right, but let's model it as the adults in the room.
There were these cards that we had a long time ago, and they still sell them. They got, I guess, an upgraded version now, but they were called sneaky cards, and it was called Play It Forward. And you would just pick a card and it would have different actions, acts of kindness, from little small things like high five someone today to, you know, more complex things. And these cards, you could leave them places too, so that they had tracking numbers and you could go to the website and see if your card, that act of kindness on that card, kept moving forward and moving forward and moving forward.
Oh, that's cool.
And I thought that was kind of a neat idea. And when my daughter was younger, we did those for a while because it also had a plus of like getting comfortable socializing with other people and acts of kindness out in public. Cause sometimes that's a barrier for people too. I don't know what to do for this person. They're a stranger. So I just don't go up and do anything.
Sure.
So I think that there are some things like that are good things to do. It doesn't have to be like a very complicated thing. Like, oh, our whole family is going to look at the food bank, local food bank. We're going to pick a volunteer time that they have offered. Everybody's going to get up that day and go do it. You know, it can be little things that also make a very meaningful difference in someone's life, or could change that person's whole day. It can just be a little thing. And I think that's an important thing to remember too. It doesn't have to be something that is going to cause, that you don't have bandwidth for, because then I think that's what you're saying, Chad. It kind of ends up backfiring because everybody's stressed. Everybody's just one more thing. It doesn't feel like a kind thing anymore. It feels like a stressful thing.
Kindness is contagious. It's harder to do, but it's really funny. I've been trying to intentionally interject it into certain scenarios, and it has a way of boomeranging around, and it might happen 4 months later, might happen a year, might happen the next day. But if you can change just even the little scenario at the moment, that might change somebody else's day, that changes somebody else's day, and it might just hit that right note at the right time. And, you know, that's the challenge. Our kids do it anyway, like for the most part. It's not necessarily 100% rule, but if we can do it, maybe that'll help another set of parents and another set of parents. And it goes down to, who's the restaurant worker serving you? Are you going to be kind? Are you going to pick up your table so that they don't have to? Are you going to leave a tip and realize that they're working hard to serve you? Are you helping the person at the counter with the really long line? Remember those little things. And if you can do even just picking up a piece of trash out in a parking lot as you're shopping, somebody you don't know who might see that, and that might just change their day because you cared enough about that to do that.
There's a website called kindness.org, and they have the kindness experiment that you can do as a family. And I thought it was really an interesting approach because it starts out with very small things. So it just like you give someone a compliment or you give someone a seat, the very, very simple acts of kindness, but it kind of builds as you go through it and you do these things. But what I really liked about it was that the last part of the experiment was also, do you feel more happy? Do you feel like you've made a difference to others? And more of that reflection that kindness is not just a kind act to somebody else, but it's also something you do for yourself as well. Like it's this two-way thing. And like you said, it if you can do that, then it starts to spread. You actually can put more in so that you have more to give to people by doing just simple acts of kindness.
Let's all do that. Boy, wouldn't everybody be in a better mood?
It would.
You're doing a cookie exchange, Trish, and you're inviting a bunch of random people together that wouldn't normally do that. And I'm so excited to see what happens.
It's going to be interesting. We've got people from at least three different religious traditions that have agreed to come. So, you know, it's not all going to be Christmas cookies. It will be Diwali treats and Hanukkah treats and other things. So I'm really looking forward to it. Hopefully it can become annual.
That is a cool idea. I like the idea of like just bringing people together to share and just kind of share their traditions too.
Some friends, it's some acquaintances, it's some neighbors, and just a bunch of variety happened spontaneously.
So here's the challenge. The challenge is try to be kind to yourself first. So if you're having a bad day, take a minute, walk away, try to reflect and reset yourself. And that's easier said than done. But even go on a jog for 30 minutes in the morning in the cold air, get that outdoor breath of fresh air, try to find that moment where you read a book or go spend time with a friend randomly and try to peel them off, then be kind and spread it to somebody else and then watch it grow. but never try to take credit for that kindness, because that's not what it's about. Being authentic is you try to do it every day in your own day, and watch your kids watch you do that. And then watch the surprise when they do something that you didn't ask them to do that spread joy or help somebody else out. I promise it'll happen.
Yay. Thank you all for listening. We so appreciate you.
Thank you, Linnell.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Thank you, Tricia.
Everybody can go spread a little kindness.
Sounds great.